Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of the Mint Podcast. I'm very, very excited that everybody is here following us. This is a pretty big deal. The reason that we're all here today is to basically remove the stigma that's attached to mental and behavioral health disorders. It's very important to note that none of us here at this table are clinicians. We're just real people with real stories trying to help the next real person struggling. So with that being said, my very first interview today, I've known Troy for about 6 years now, which is so crazy to believe it's been six whole years. He is one of those people who I feel like has an interesting story, literally from the time he came into my family's life, all the way up until now. So I thought he would be the perfect first candidate and guinea pig for my podcast. And then in addition, I wanted to kind of get a little bit of feedback and background on what it's like to have a family member of a person who is going through substance abuse and the recovery process with them. So I have his sister April here with us as well. So hey guys, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So basically to get started, before we get started, I want to know, before you picked up your first drug and before you, April, went through this whole thing with your family, what did you guys know about drugs?
Not much. DARE program. We knew that don't smoke cigarettes.
Tobacco and alcohol.
That was about it. I mean, it wasn't really talked about.
Just say no. You'll be all right.
Yeah, just say no.
That's all it was.
Yeah. I feel like I grew up in a very different environment. I knew what like crack cocaine was when I was 4 years old, but not everybody grows up the way that I did. So what I want to know, before April, Troy went through his battle, what was your perception of people struggling with addiction?
That they were just lazy and that they just wouldn't stop. That it was something that you could just say, you know, I'm done, or, and you know, decide to quit.
Right.
It wasn't, we didn't know the background of a disease. We didn't know that, you know, you literally can't just stop.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I was one of the ones that were like, it's a choice.
Right. You know? Kind of like ignorant, for lack of a better term. Right.
Exactly.
So, Troy, before we kind of get into the positive part of your story, give me a little bit of a brief overview of your using career and how you got into recovery.
I mean, the start of it, you know, it all seemed kind of like just what kids do. You know, I started smoking pot. I remember very vividly the first time I ever smoked weed and drank alcohol at the same time. I remember thinking I wanted to feel like this for the rest of my life. I remember thinking that vividly. That's one of the first, you know, things I remember while I was on drugs. Another thing I remember when I first started getting high, man, everything was a secret. Real quick, because I had to hide everything from my parents and my sisters and everybody in my life. And so I had to keep, you know, it talks about the book that I read on a daily basis talks about we all live secret lives, man, in our active addiction. And that started real early for me. And, you know, it progressed, like this disease is progressive, fatal, and deadly, man. And it progressed to, pills and stuff. You know, me and my buddy, we knew this guy on house arrest, so we'd go over there and smoke him up, and he'd give us some Percocets and hydrocodones and stuff like that, and so we started getting high on that. And it just progressed until, you know, heroin and crack, man. You know, it talks about jails, institutions, and death, man. I got all of those, man. I've OD'd, I've been to jail.
So let's talk about jail. So you have one of the most interesting stories of how you got into recovery that I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah.
And for those of you that don't know me or that may be just learning about, you know, what I do for the first time, my dad and my stepmom are both in long-term recovery. And my dad is very well known throughout the community for the work that he does in the addiction and recovery field. So with that being said, I grew up around it. I've had people in recovery around me my whole entire life. And I just think that of my 26 years on this earth, I've never quite heard a story like yours. So I'll popcorn that back over to you.
Yes. The way I met your dad, so I was in Pamunkey. I was in El Pod for the guys listening in Pamunkey right now. You know, I was in El Pod, and like to get out of jail, like I made bond, or I was just getting out. I served my time. I did about 3 months in there, and I got out, And to get out of there, you have to have a ride to get away from the jail, because they don't want you going out there and messing with people's cars and stuff like that. So I called my little sister, Brittany. She was still in high school or college, some at that point. She had to go to class at 10 o'clock, and I called her around 8. And, time passed. They take forever to get you out of there. So it was about 12:30, almost 1 o'clock by the time they actually let me out. They said, your sister's been waiting here for hours. I said, all right, bet. So they let me out. And come to find out, she wasn't there. She had left about 2 hours before they let me out. So I'm, out of jail. I'm hitchhiking my way home. I'm walking down on, what road is that?
Rural Point Road, right?
Rural Point Road, yeah. And
which is super country for those that don't know.
Yeah, it's
and
a long
very
way.
Far away from the jail, actually.
It was a long walk. But, and her dad picks me up. Like, I never, I never met him, man. He never met me. He said, hey. What are you doing? I got a tattoo of a mushroom on my back. I had my shirt off. It was a hot day and stuff, man. Like, he tells his story a little bit different. But,
I'm sure he does.
But he said, get in the car, man. And he had a Healing Place sticker on his dashboard. And I remember asking, I was like, what do you know about the Healing Place? He's like, what do you know about the Healing Place? He's like, you a fucking addict? I was like, maybe. He was like, what are you in there? What were you in jail for? I said, pretty much drugs and robbery and stuff like that. And he was like, all right. Well, no, you're going to come help me out of the house. I said, all right. But look, that wasn't the end of the beginning. That wasn't the beginning yet, man. I always forget to tell this part of my story, man, because, like, the physical things were bad. Jail's bad and stuff, mm-hmm. And, like, that's a really cool part of my story. But, in retrospect, that was God setting me up for – when I say God, I mean good or really direction. Just anything to help me stay clean, all right? I'm not religious. Just get that out of the way. I went to McShin, and this isn't a plug for treatment or anything like that, but I went to McShin, and I helped him out in the day program is what they called it, man. But I would go home at night, and I still had stuff in my room, and I would still get high every day.
So when he tells this story, he tells it like he picked you up off the side of the road, and you asked to go back to your parents' house so you could steal money from them to go buy drugs.
I didn't tell him that, but that was the thing.
That was the plan.
That
so
was
let
the
me
thing.
Pause you right there. April, from the time that he started using and you guys realized that he had an issue up until you could tell that he was really making the strides to get clean, what were you and your family going through with him doing what he was doing?
So I think we all were at different points. I actually asked my mom this yesterday, what she thought of Troy. And I think the thing that is the same with all of us, we kind of just wanted him to disappear. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't want the stress. I mean, it was constant worrying that he was going to be dead, that he was going to be, jail was the best outcome
Absolutely.
That we could ever think of. We just kind of wanted him to go away. If that's what you're going to do, kill yourself, go do it. It was my parents' marriage. I mean, they obviously had a hard time with that. They had some issues that they worked through and everything, but that was hard. It's hard to turn to have a relationship with with my mom and my dad, and we all had different views, me and Brittany would call each other and vent and be like, screw this, he's a jerk, he's being ignorant. And so we were all kind of at different points.
Yeah, and your mom is literally the sweetest person in the world. I'll never forget the first time she came to our big Christmas party that we had. She came with cupcakes in hand, and I was like, I like that woman. She can come back whenever she wants to. But anyway, so April, at what point did you realize that Troy had a problem?
So it was kind of all or nothing. At first, I was like, oh, he doesn't have an issue. He can just stop. Then he OD'd on my grandma's couch. That was the first one. And then he started stealing her patches. That was the second one. That was the two big things.
That kind of triggered you knowing. Yeah.
Because my brother is not one at that point to cry. And I remember having a conversation with him, and he was crying.
I feel like that's how Yeah. If a grown-ass man is crying, there's something wrong.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, Troy, so let's fast forward to – so what's your clean date?
My clean date is September 22nd, 2013.
So for those that are not familiar with the recovery community, at this point is when everybody would clap and stand up. So so what – in your early recovery career, what were you doing that worked for you?
The first year I was clean up, it wasn't really about working steps. It wasn't doing any of the things that they really told me to do. It was really all just about going to meetings and the fellowship, mm-hmm. And, you know, I was part of a 12-step fellowship, and I just go to meetings and talk to people after the meetings and stuff. And that's basically it. And, you know, I got the freedom from active addiction. That's all I really got from just doing that, was freedom from getting high.
And what were some of the mistakes that you made? Not necessarily the mistakes that caused you to relapse prior to you getting clean, you know, this last go-round, but mistakes in your recovery that you've made in the past 6 years.
Females.
Yeah. Relationships. Yeah. It's like the worst.
Yeah, they talk about relationships can be a terribly painful area, man, and it was, man. But on a different hand, man, it was my greatest teacher, man.
Yeah.
Relationships have been my greatest teacher.
You know, when I first told my dad, it was about a week or two ago, that you were the one that that I was interviewing for the first time, he said, you know what? And it made me cry, and I literally might cry now. I don't even know. He said, you know what? Of all the people that I've ever helped in my almost 36 years of being clean and sober, Troy reminds me the most of myself.
Oh, God.
And he said, right? And he said, you know, I see the way that he looks at that little girl, and I see the way that he got clean, and it just reminds me of me and you. And I was like, oh my God, Dad, what? But yeah, so I thought that was a really, really cool, great, cool compliment.
Coming from John, too.
I know.
He drops that F-bomb more than anybody I've ever met. But yeah. But so April, I think right when you guys realized that Troy was really putting one foot in front of the other, how did you and your family react to it? Like, were you skeptical? Were you like, oh, he's full shit. Like, he'll go back. You know what I mean? Like, how did you react to that?
So I think we were way too gung-ho about it. Like, we were involved. Like, we, all of us were in the front row and
y'all were. Yeah. I remember. Y'all really were.
And even people, like Matthews made a comment about how we were just there. Like, we were all involved. And we were really close as it is.
But I see y'all on Facebook. Y'all are all super duper, which is great.
We were before this, actually. Yeah. And, you know, that's something that did come from this. I mean, me, Troy, and Brittany are a lot. And even my mom and dad, all of us are just a lot closer because of this, I think, too.
Right.
But, I mean, we were way too into it. Mom was making cupcakes.
I don't think there's such thing as way too into it. And she can totally make cupcakes whenever
she wants. She was in it.
Debbie, I know you're listening, and I'll take them whenever. Not my dad, because he can't really have them.
Yeah.
So now that you are approaching 6 years of your recovery, what do you consistently do every day that helps you stay clean? Like a day, I know you said you read the book that you said that you read, but like what is something that you do every single day that like you wake up in the morning and you're like, I'm going to do this and I'm not going to go get high. I'm going to stay clean another day.
Excuse me.
Well, I mean, I pray. I talk to my higher power every morning, man. I wake up, roll out of bed, hit my knees every morning. Like I said, I'm not religious. I'm talking to my God. Okay.
Yeah,
I gotta
the God
get that
of your
clear.
Understanding.
Yeah, I'm getting that right. Clear. All right. But I pray, I talk to God, I take about 5 minutes to be quiet, to quiet my mind. It's called meditation. And I read, it's called a Just for Today reading. And I read that and kind of meditate on that and kind of think, how can I put this into my life today? And, you know, I just try to be a better person than I was yesterday. I mean,
right.
It's that simple.
So now that you have a little girl yourself, Lacey, who is so freaking cute, by the way, what are you, as she gets older, what are you going to do? Like, what kind of conversations are you going to have with her about addiction and recovery? Like, are you going to, is she going to know? You know what I mean? Like, how are you going to handle that? And also, for those listening, they're all here right now, so I'm sure you can hear some of them. But yeah, so what is it going to look like you bringing her up? Because essentially, she's being brought up the same way I was brought up, in the rooms and recovery, around people in recovery, which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
So how are you going to handle that as she starts to get older?
Well, she doesn't,
she goes to meetings now.
Yeah, she goes to meetings more than most people go to meetings.
Yeah, me too. That's how I was there.
But, like, one of the awesome things that I see now, man, is, like, she might, her biological mom might not be in her life, man, but she's got about 100 other women that put spiritual principles in their life, man, and live their life principled, man, and, like, I think she's going to see that, man. And as long as I just keep trying to be the man that I am, man, try to get better every day, she'll see that, man. It'll be attractive to her, man. And hopefully she'll pick a guy like this. Like, I never thought I'd say this, but hopefully she picks a guy like me someday, man.
They say like, women marry their fathers. Yes. And let me tell you, my fiance, like, he does something new every single day that reminds me of John Schenholzer.
Oh, my God.
Every single day. Right? That's a good thing. I don't know. I'll let you know how that works out. And April, what is it like to have your brother back?
It's good. You know, and it's not... I've said this a million times that I thank God I had my brother back. But I don't think that I really got my brother back. I got a different person back. Yeah. You know, it's Troy is somebody that you can have a conversation with now and will give you what you need to hear, why you need to hear it. It is
not sugarcoated.
Exactly. And that's something that, you know, we all benefit from. So, I mean, it's, I'm glad I don't have to talk to a headstone. I'm glad I don't have to talk to him from jail. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm glad that he made me an aunt. And I don't know, it's good.
So Troy, if you could give one piece of like solid, legitimate advice to the next person walking down Rule Point Road fresh out of jail, what would you say to that person?
Man, as long as you got air in your lungs, man, blood in your veins, man, there's always hope for you, man. You're never hopeless. That, you know, my name's Troy Harrison. You can look me up on Facebook. I will message you back. If I don't know the answers, I will point you in a direction to get the answers, man.
And then, April, what kind of advice do you have for a family just like yours who, you know, let's say they don't know if they're going to get that phone call or they don't know if they're going to see their loved one tomorrow or the next day? What would you say to those people?
Talk to people. Don't try to hide it. You know, mm-hmm. I think we tried to hide it for a little bit. And that was probably one of the worst things that we could have done. We covered it up. You know, we stayed between us five, and that was it. And my mom will tell you that she has a friend that went through with her son. Mm-hmm. And she reached out to her, and that's the only one my mom said that was, like, her saving grace. That's the only way that she could have done it. Because, like I said, all of us have different outlooks on it. You know, we had different outlooks in what we wanted. So, I mean, definitely reach out to people. You know, get... Talk to people that have done that. Don't be embarrassed. You know, share your story. If you can help somebody, help them. You know, if you can just sit there and listen to somebody, and, you know, reach out.
Yeah. Right. Well, I thank you guys so much for being my guinea pigs. I'm going to try to figure out how to stop this here in a minute. But from myself, I'm sure from Troy and April, I really, really thank all of you all for listening. I think that... it's very important to start doing things to try and erase the stigma attached to these different types of disorders. It's very important for people to realize that they're not alone, they are enough, and that they are exactly where they are meant to be, which I have decided to make my little motto for this podcast. Like, so thank you so much for listening, Troy and April. Thank you so much for being here at 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning in the pouring down rain. I really, truly appreciate it.
Thanks. Thank you. Yeah. And our kids.